This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. According to a Pew Research study taken a little more than a decade ago, so that's before the COVID-19 pandemic, obviously, nearly half of African Americans attended church weekly, and that's the most of any racial or ethnic group in America. Since this country's founding, the Black Church has been the spiritual, political, and cultural foundation of African American life. And yet, for many Americans, its influences are a mystery. That mystery is being unraveled in the PBS miniseries, The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. Historian and filmmaker Henry Louis Gates Jr. produced the series. In this short excerpt, we hear him visit one of America's first Black-run institutions.
As the free Black community slowly began to grow in the years before the Declaration of Independence, the first institutions that they created, along with their enslaved sisters and brothers, were houses of worship. One of the earliest was in Savannah, Georgia. Today, it's known as the First African Baptist Church.
That was an excerpt of The Black Church, as I said, airing on most PBS stations, starting tonight, continuing tomorrow night. You can see a trailer at our website, 21stshow.org. Today, we're joined by three pastors from historic Black churches in Illinois who can talk directly about the African-American church experience. Joining us is Pastor Adrian Johnson from Ward Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Peoria, which was organized in 1846. Pastor Johnson, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Pastor Joshua West from Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield. This church was founded in 1838 and is Springfield's oldest Black church. Pastor West, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Pastor John Smith is here from Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago, the oldest Black Baptist church in Chicago, dating back to 1850. Pastor Smith, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you are welcome to share your thoughts on the Black church experience. If you have questions about the Black church experience, give us a call. The number is 800-222-9455. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. Later, we'll also share some thoughts from members of our Text the 21st group. Pastor Smith, I want to begin with you. Throughout history, the Black church had to be more than just a place of worship, but also a safe haven for the Black community. Can you talk about some of the roles that Black churches have taken on in their communities?
Sure, I can definitely talk about it, and as it also relates to Olivet Baptist Church and its role. The Black church has been a critical institution because it was one of the first institutions that African Americans truly had agency in, the ability to not only circulate their own dollars, which created economic empowerment, but also improved the social lives, because most of these Black churches were centered in neighborhoods that were predominantly Black or African American. As it comes to Olivet Baptist Church, because we were founded in 1850, we were always integral in working with abolitionists throughout this country to help bring enslaved individuals to the North that were seeking freedom. And so Olivet was integral in the Underground Railroad as it has progressed through the state of Illinois. And so the Black church has always had to be multifaceted in its approach, not only to spirituality, but addressing the social conditions in society as well.
And Pastor Johnson, do you still see the church fulfilling some of those same roles or I guess comparable roles in today's society?
Oh, definitely I do. I believe that the Black church is still an integral part of Black culture. I think that we still, even though we are, of course, in the pandemic, we still love to worship together, to encourage one another, to hold one another up. And also, I'm sure, my brothers in Christ will also agree, we are going to be at the forefront in seeing too that our congregants are vaccinated, or at least get the information that they need to make an educated choice, to be in the forefront of voter registration and getting souls to the polls, and not just this last election, but all elections coming forth. And again, I do really believe that the Black church is just an intricate part of our community.
No, that's great. Drawing a thread from the Underground Railroad through the COVID-19 pandemic today. I want to talk a little bit about the somewhat complicated history, as I understand it, of Christianity as it relates to slavery, right? People who enslaved, who were the, I guess, slave masters, for lack of a better term, and they tried to use it to control enslaved people, but Black people started to embrace Christianity and transform it for themselves, you know, as in a framework on their journey to freedom. And Pastor West, I wonder, what do you say, how do you think of the transformation of Christianity from a tool of the enslavers to a tool that helped people discover their own freedom?
I think it allowed us to have a voice, allowed us to communicate. We communicated a lot through spiritual songs, and allowed us to communicate that we could have a voice for freedom. And so in the Black church, it allowed us to continue to speak of freedom and leadership. And so I think we're doing the same thing even in 2021, that it allows us to have us a voice, whether it be through the preached word of God or through songs. And we have that voice, and I think we need to continue to be at the forefront of that voice.
And Pastor Smith, I wonder if you have a perspective on that journey as well.
Yes, I do. I think Pastor West articulated the importance of the prophetic voice that has occurred in preaching the gospel. But I also want to highlight the ingenuity and the creativity of our ancestors and their ability to take that which the masters wanted to use to further oppress, to actually allow them to be creative and read the liberative process that comes about for God, that speaks to the oppressed, cares about the oppressed, and ultimately works to free the oppressed. And they identified with the children of Israel and what that meant in their desire to be free. And so I think what can't be underestimated is what our ancestors did in terms of creativity and ingenuity and hearing the voice of God in their horrible predicament.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our guests. If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the Black church experience in America with three church leaders from Illinois. Pastor John Smith is here from Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago. Pastor Adrian Johnson from Ward Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Peoria. And Pastor Joshua West is here from Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455. We put a question to our texting group about this, and Justin in Rockford wrote to say, quote, "As a Catholic, I've always felt a little embarrassed that the Catholic Church in the USA has done such a poor job of reaching out to Black Americans. I feel like they're missing from our pews, and we are the poorer for it," end quote. And of course, in 1960, Dr. Martin Luther King said on Meet the Press, "The most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning." Pastor Johnson, I wonder, why do you think churches are not more racially integrated?
Well, I believe that we, of course, we tend to worship with those that, you know, we possibly live around. I know that many of our churches in the AME congregations across the nation were in particular neighborhoods. Of course, those neighborhoods where we were basically forced to live, if you will. And so I think that sometimes it's just a matter of comfort. It's a matter of tradition. But of course, I have, even through seminary, I've one of our classes, we had to go and worship at other denominations and other congregations. And whenever I have, I've always felt welcome in the Catholic Church, in a Presbyterian church, again, those that are not necessarily of my denomination. But I think prayerfully, and of course, we've come through a very, very difficult and polarizing season. That's the reality that we are faced with. But I do believe, as we believe that Jesus is the great reconciler of man to God, that same reconciliation and that same spirit can be among Christians, that we will learn to see one another and look one another in the eyes and just know that we are all children of God. So we do pray that Sunday morning, when we have that most segregated time of America, that gradually over time, that divide will be crossed.
Now, of course, it's impossible to talk about integration and the civil rights movement without talking about the Black Church. And we saw during the civil rights movement in particular, the church taking on more roles of political activism, especially through the influence of Martin Luther King and his organization. Pastor Smith, I wonder if you can talk about the Black Church as an anchor in the civil rights movement and even carrying forward to social justice movements today.
Sure. I think Olivet Baptist Church is uniquely positioned to kind of talk about that dynamic because of the kind of two larger-than-life figures that came out of the movement. Of course, we all know about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but his counterpart was also the leader of the National Baptist Convention and the person of Dr. Joseph H. Jackson. And during that particular period of history, it was understood that these two individuals, Dr. Jackson, of course, was the longest tenured pastor of Olivet Baptist Church. But during that period, it was widely circulated that those two individuals were at odds with each other. But what is often not noted when you actually read the works of Dr. Jackson is they just had two different approaches to what it means for African Americans to be free in America. Dr. King, of course, believed in a nonviolent philosophy that was rooted and grounded in his Judeo-Christian ethic. And Dr. Jackson was one that believed in the strategy of civil disobedience and public protest was not as productive as he believed it should be, and kind of focused on economic empowerment and emphasizing the need for African Americans to fully participate in democracy through the vote. I think those two realities still clash in our contemporary society when you deal with what is happening with the Black Lives Matter movement and their approach to dealing with racial injustice in society. But also on the flip side of that, you have the kind of what Pastor Johnson talked about earlier with Souls to the Polls, the importance of making sure that the civil rights struggle continues in voter empowerment and making sure that our communities vote their numbers and vote in the strength of their numbers. And so I think tensions are not really tensions. They're just two ways of getting to the same goal, where you have public protests to bring attention to the injustices, but we also need to march to the polls to make sure that our voices are heard in this American democracy.
And Pastor West, I wonder, do you view your churches as having a role in social justice movements today?
Yes, I believe that spiritual leaders have a mighty voice in the community. And so if we are pushing for our members to go out and vote, I think our voice speaks volume. I think that was the great thing that Dr. King did, that his voice had power. And not only did he speak it, but then he also did it in action. And so if our community is, if the churches, the Black churches is going to be involved, it has to start with leadership. And so I think it becomes my responsibility as the pastor to encourage us to go out and vote That's the only way that we are going to have a voice. And then Zion also is a polling place. And so not only are we speaking it, but then we're also doing it in action.
And I want to ask, we're in the midst of a pandemic now. And Pastor West, I understand you are relatively newly elected pastor at Zion. So I wonder if being virtual, have there been challenges in connecting with the church body, delivering sermons, any advantages to the virtual nature of so many services today?
Yeah, it has been a challenge. I just started in October of 2020. So I've only been doing this for a few months. And so I have not even been able to see face to face some of the members that I've been privileged to lead. But the positive thing is that it has allowed us to reach the masses. It has gotten us out of our comfort zone that we need to make sure that the Word of God leaves past these four walls that we have been put into. So I think it's given us an opportunity to refocus, to understand what our relationship really is with Christ. And so it allows me to have more time with the Lord and to reach individuals who may not have felt comfortable coming into the building for Bible study or for worship. So I think God has allowed this to happen for a reason. And so I'm just trying to take advantage of the opportunity that I have been afforded.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a short break. We are talking about the Black church in experience in America, in Illinois in particular. We're pegging our conversation. There's a new PBS miniseries tonight called The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. You can see a trailer for that at our website, 21stshow.org. This conversation will continue after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Black church experience in Illinois. Our conversation is pegged to the idea that PBS has a miniseries. It starts tonight. It's called The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. And we're going to talk about the song aspect of this shortly. My guests are Pastor John Smith from Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago, Pastor Joshua West from Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield, and Pastor Adrian Johnson from Ward Chapel AME Church in Peoria. Before we get to the music portion of our conversation, Pastor Johnson, I wanted to ask you, the series talks about women being the backbone of the church, but they were often overlooked when it came to preaching, right? They're fighting racism outside the church. They're fighting sexism within the church. And we're not really traditionally seen in pastoral positions. Can you talk about this in your experience being a pastor who is also a woman?
Yes. Of course, in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, they have ordained women for years now, hundreds of years. And also with me coming through the ministry, it was not so foreign as far as seeing a woman pastor. My colleagues have been very, very supportive. When I stand to preach or to teach, I of course acknowledge that I'm a woman, but when I stand to teach or preach, I'm just a preacher. Or in a pastoral world, I am just a pastor. It's a wonderful calling. And of course, there are situations, denominations. When we gathered pre-pandemic, if I entered a church and they did not acknowledge women pastors, we have to give everyone time. And, we honor the house that we walk into. And again, and I've had people here, pastors here in the Peoria area that come to me when we're gathering and have explained to me, Pastor, I love you, but you know, my congregation is not yet ready. And they have, because traditionally many pastors in the Black church, when we are pastors and they acknowledge us, we go to the pulpit. And this one particular pastor where the denomination did not recognize it, he simply had all pastors sit on the front row. And I just, it's in love, and we have to disagree without necessarily dividing. We can still worship together, amen, and we count it all joy to that for this great calling. We do know that we are called of God, and again, it's a wonderful, wonderful calling.
Pastor Smith, I wonder if you have a perspective on this aspect of, you know, the mini series, which I know we probably haven't all seen yet, but you know, this idea that the church was obviously quick to address racism, but maybe a little slower to address sexism.
Yeah, I think that in the Baptist tradition, we are a congregational model. And so what that does is that allows each Baptist church to have its own autonomy concerning that particular issue. And so there are many Baptist churches that ordain women and do celebrate women in the pastorate. And then there are other congregations who, for doctrinal reasons, biblical reasons, do not ordain women. But I think what I'll say is that when it comes to that particular issue, the church itself is growing, as Pastor Johnson already talked about. Some churches are ready. Some churches have reconciled that particular issue. But what we've always done in the Black church is uplift and celebrate the contributions of women, especially in the Baptist traditions with our women's auxiliary, who really do most of the work. And in the miniseries that is coming out, the documentary that are coming out, they'll lift up the wonderful work of Nanny Helen Burroughs, who was a fierce force in terms of not only empowering women in ministry, but also highlighting the need for us to be collaborative in how we uplift Christ and serve our communities.
Do you think there's also, you mentioned sort of an evolution, Pastor Smith, on this question. Is there also, I wonder, an evolution happening in the Black church on LGBTQ people, right? There was this, I'm thinking of the Chicago rapper, I think DeBrat is the name, who said she was reluctant to come out in part because of her upbringing in the Black church. Do you see changes there in the church, or is this part of the, as you were saying, some denominations or units have that sort of biblical approach to it?
I think what has happened, unfortunately, is the Black church has kind of been labeled as being kind of monolithic. And we're not monolithic. There are plenty of Black churches that are as we would call, welcoming and affirming communities. But on the flip side of that, what I'll say is the Black church has historically tried its best to be open. You know, we talked earlier about the question in regards to the Catholic brother who raised the question about being able to worship in a Black church and how Catholicism hindered or may have not created those opportunities for that particular individual worship. But the Black church has always been a place where everyone, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender identity, regardless of your socioeconomic condition, you can find a seat in a Black church. You walk in the door, the usher will make sure that you're seated in community. I think because of our struggles with the LGBTQ issue, I think we just have to continue to be in dialogue and discourse and understand each other from the perspective of the love of Jesus Christ. How do you love someone in their gayness? And that's important for all of us to solve, even those churches that are not so open to the LGBTQ membership.
Okay, let me reintroduce my guests. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the African-American church experience and the new PBS miniseries, The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. For the rest of the show, we're going to be focusing on This is our song part of the series. Let's listen to another clip.
The Black Church has been the root of the most celebrated aspects of Black culture.
Gospel music is about the majesty of Jesus.
It sets the tone for how you will feel when the word comes forth.
It's such a distinct flavor of music.
It's something about those songs that brings joy.
Those were the voices of musical artists Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams, John Legend, and Shirley Caesar, who were all interviewed for Henry Louis Gates' Junior's series, which is airing on most PBS stations in Illinois starting tonight, continuing tomorrow night. And we are continuing our conversation with our guests, Pastor Adrian Johnson from Ward Chapel African Methodist Church in Peoria, Joshua West from Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield, and Pastor John Smith from Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago. If you have a question about our conversation, or you want to just join our conversation specifically for the rest of the show, we're talking about the music that's come out of the Black Church. The number is 800-222-9455. So gospel music obviously has so many different styles. There's, you know, joyful, foot stomping, upbeat, emotional, hand swaying, slow. Some of the things you hear in gospel music are soaring vocals, the long held notes, the call and response. Pastor Johnson, what are some aspects that are unique to gospel music? What do you hear when you listen to gospel music?
Well, when I hear gospel music, it is a great connector between us and the Lord. When we come together, either with choirs, whether they're singing spirituals or anthems or the gospel, or of course the soloists, it has a way of uplifting our spirits, just giving us such hope. And of course, the music is intricately tied to our congregations. I'm sure I can get some agreement here. We will hear things like the preacher preached the house down, but we also will hear the choir certainly did sing the house down, or sang heaven down. Again, it's just a way for the congregants just to be lifted in their spirits, and it gives them such hope in dark times. And again, you will see the tears flow, the hands go up, and the shouting, and as you say, the call and response when it comes to gospel music.
Pastor West, what role does music play in your ministry?
Oh, it plays in an enormous role. I think it sets the tone for worship. Music has always been a part of worship, especially when the songs has a connection with the individual who is singing the song, when it becomes personal and you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Gospel music always tells a wonderful story, always has biblical background. And so I think it
Hello. I think we might have had a little interruption in our connection there. Okay. So we only have about 4 minutes left in the show today. I do want to play another clip here. A lot of gospel, soul, and R&B artists say Mahalia Jackson is one of their biggest influences. She spent part of her childhood in Chicago. Her 4-decade career ended with her death in Evergreen Park in 1971. One of the most widely known of her songs was Trouble of the World.
We'll be done. Trouble of the world. Trouble of the world. Trouble.
Jackson, of course, was known not just for her music, but also her activism. Her concerts raised money for the civil rights movement. She befriended the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife and hosted them when they came to Chicago. Of course, Mavis Staples is another huge name from the Chicago gospel music scene. Pastor Smith, can you talk about what makes the music of these two women so inspiring?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mackey, for that question, because Mahalia Jackson sang quite frequently at Olivet Baptist Church when Dr. Jackson was the pastor, and Dr. Jackson actually was the one that she requested eulogize her. And so both of those women were integral in just experiencing the best and the highest form of gospel music. Mahalia Jackson was an astute businesswoman as well. But both of those women had the ability to bring us into what I call our eschatology, that already not yet position, where we are already embraced and loved by God and loved by Christ, but we're not yet fully realized because we have not been ushered into the beyond. And when you listen to both of those women sing, they have that ability to speak to us right now in our alreadyness, but also remind us of what lies beyond that not yet. And that is just the incredible power of their voice and that gift that God had given them in music.
I think that is a lovely place on which to end our conversation. I want to thank my guests. They have been Pastor John Smith from Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago, Pastor Joshua West from Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Springfield, and Pastor Adrian Johnson from Ward Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Peoria. Thank you all so much for being with me today on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And listeners, I want to mention one more time, you can look for the miniseries, The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. It's on your local PBS station starting tonight. You can also find it on the PBS Passport streaming service. And we have the trailer on our website at 21stshow.org. And that is all the time we have for today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We leave you today with the sounds of the Chicago Mass Choir.